So we're on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halach Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish b'meis. The halach is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish when it comes to saving a corpse from a fire. Ein ne'usin heimenu l'fisha'enu min hamuchan. We said in the Mishnah that you can't make use of oil that drips off a candle because it's not prepared from before Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan Mutar Mosar Hashemen Shevener u'shebekara asar. The remaining oil that's left over in a candle, like in a lamp or in a bowl, is prohibited to be used on Shabbos. Reb Shimon Matir, Reb Shimon says you could use it on Shabbos. Next Mishnah says the Mishnah. We can move a new oil lamp on Shabbos, but not an oil one that was already used, because then it's covered with a set aside things. And it's covered. Sorry, with muksa, because you know it's considered disgusting and mias. Okay. All the soot and all the other stuff. Any candle can be moved, unless it is presently burning on Shabbos, because then it might be put out. Says the Gemara. You can move a new lamp, but not an old one, says Rabbi Huda. You can move all of them, except for a candle that was lit on Shabbos. He says something that is lit on Shabbos. In other words, it wasn't lit on Shabbos, but it is on fire on Shabbos. Kovso, mutalotaltal. But if it went out, then you'd be allowed to move it. Avokos, ukara, ve'ashashis. Lo, azizim, mimakomam, a cup, a bowl, or a lantern, you shouldn't move them from their place. They're full of oil, and they're, right? Rebelezer, bereshimadom, mistapik, min haner, Hakava umin hasheven hametaftef vafilu b'shosh shehaner dolek. Those are Rabbi Shimon says you can use oil from a candle that was extinguished and from oil that drips from a lamp even while the lamp is still burning. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, sever lekavua b'chada. Rabbi Lazar, son of Rabbi Shimon, does hold like his father for one thing, but he disagrees with him about a different thing. Sever lekavua b'chada. He agrees with his father about one thing, to lesle muksa, that he doesn't accept the concept here of muksa. Upalagale b'chada. Right, and he disagrees about something else though. The ilo avu asover kava in lo kava lo. His father says, if it went out, then you could, and if it didn't go out, then you can't use it. Viu asover afal gam to lo kava. Even if it didn't go out, you could still get oil that had dripped from it. Avol kosu karva ashashes lo yazizim mekamu. But a cup, a bowl or a lantern, you shouldn't move them. Maishna hani. What's different about those three things? Amu'ula seifa aton le bihuda. Let's say that this section of the Mishnah. Is according to the opinion of Rabbi Huda, who says you can't move these things that are muksa. Maskif lomar zotri hachi my aval. So what does it mean? However, right? I mean that word wouldn't make sense according to Rabbi Huda. Lomar zotri lo Rabbi Shimon. This must be according to Rabbi Shimon. V'chi kasher Rabbi Shimon. When kasher Rabbi Shimon. When does Rabbi Shimon permit this? B'ner zuta d'dayte elavoy. When it's a small candle small lamp that a person has in mind. So he knows that the flame will definitely be extinguished on Shabbos, and he'll have opportunity to use that oil anyway. So he thought about that. Avalhani dinafishi, but things that are much bigger, like koskara and ashashis, so then they have so much oil in it that you don't expect them to go out even over a whole Shabbos, then they're not considered sort of set aside in your mind from before Shabbos. So Tanya Mutra, Mosar Hashemen Shevener Shevkara Aser, the leftover, we learned in a braisa that the leftover oil is Aser. For Shemin, that's in an air or in a kaira. For Shemin Matir, but Shemin says it's okay. Awesome, kaira dumidiner. There, it's a different type of kaira. That's a bowl that's similar to a candle, a smaller one. And hacha, the kaira dumidikos. This is a kaira that's dumid to a cup, which is larger. So a candle is very small, kos is large. Okay, it's a different size bowl. That's all. Amar Zair, pamot shehidliku bo b'Shabbos. Like it's some kind of a metal candlestick called a pamot that was lit on Shabbos. Ledivrei. Hamatir, Aser Aser Matir. According to Rabbi Shimon, who allows you to move it, this one you can't because it's too big. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you could, a metal candlestick is okay because it doesn't become disgusting. Lememra, does this mean to say, do Rabbi Yehuda muksa machmas mias islay muksa machmas iser leslay? Do you mean to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that muksa machmas mias, which means something that's disgusting, he does hold of muksa machmas iser, but something that's muksa because of an iser leslay, he doesn't hold of tanya Rabbi Yehuda. I'm calling Rabbi Shimon. All candles of metal can be moved, with the exception of this lamp that was lit on Shabbos. Here's what it means to say. So, if Zera said it. If it's lit on Shabbos, everyone agrees it's not. And if not, if it was lit not on Shabbos, everyone agrees it's mutter to move. Okay. Remember Yehuda Amar Rav. Mita sheyichada lema'os osur letantla. A bed or couch or something that was designated to put money on cannot be moved on Shabbos because it's muksa. Even if the thing doesn't have any money on it at the time. Now here's a question. Wait a minute. You can move a new oil lamp on Shabbos, right? But not an old one. And he explains the kasha. Just like a lamp which is made for this purpose, if you don't light it, then you are allowed to move it. So, I mean, a bed is not made to put money on. Shouldn't you be able to move that? It must be that here's what was really said. If a bed was placed, where was set aside for money, and they put money on it, then you're not allowed to move it. But if you didn't put money on it, then you're allowed to move it. If you didn't set it aside for money, if it has money on it, then if it doesn't have any money on it, no. And vehu shelo hayu olav bein hashmashas, and that's all when there wasn't money on it during bein hashmashas. Because if there was, then the bed becomes set aside for the whole Shabbos, right? It's muksa, even if the money fell off. Amar ula masav rebelazar muchani shelo bizman shehi nishmetes ein chibula ve'ein mimdedes ima ve'ein matzels ima olamais ve'ein goranos b'shabbos bizman sheshelo amos. So he said like this. This is. A muchani is like the undercarriage of a wagon. So if it's nishmetes, which means it's it can come apart from the wagon, so it's not considered connected, and it's not measured with it. So lagabe calculating the amount of 40 sa'ah, we know that a vessel with a larger volume than 40 sa'ah is not considered a kli and cannot become tame. So it depends. In other words, is this a separate thing or in terms of measuring for that size? And it also doesn't protect, together with the wagon, in a tent over a dead body. So, in other words, a large wagon would be considered like an oel. It would be considered like a tent of its own, an oel of its own. And then things inside the wagon do not become tame if the wagon goes over a corpse. But the undercarriage is not included with the wagon for this. So that, let's say there was like a hole in the bottom of the wagon, and this undercarriage was covering that hole. It's not considered sealed, and everything will become tame. And you cannot pull the wagon on Shabbos if there's money on it. Ha'ena lehamos. So you see that if there's not money on it, sharia, then it's permitted. Afalgav dehavo lebein hashmashas. Even if the money was there, bein hashmashas. So I hear Reb Shimon who doesn't say muksa. That's just according to Reb Shimon who doesn't accept the whole concept of muksa. Reb Yehuda, Rav, Reb Yehuda Tzurile, but Rav follows the opinion of Reb Yehuda. Mem he amud aleph. Hachinam mistaver de Rav, Reb Yehuda Tzurile. It is reasonable. It makes sense that Rav would hold like Reb Yehuda. To Amar Rav, because Rav said, manichin ner al gabi dekel b'shabbos. You can place a lamp on top of a palm tree on Shabbos. Ve'en minichin ner al gabi, meaning you would put it before Shabbos, on Shabbos, to burn on Shabbos. Ve'en minichin ner al gabi dekel b'yomtiv, but you can't put a lamp on top of a palm tree on Yontif. So yeah, Bishlamo derav kribihuda svele. If you say that Rav holds a kribihuda, hainu dishani bin Shabbos Yontif, that is the difference between Shabbos and Yontif, because since it's muksa on Shabbos, the person will come to carry it. And if you're permitted, right, since you're allowed to carry on Yontif, there's a concern that the person might climb the palm tree to get use of the lamp, and then you're not allowed to make use of anything that's mechobel kaka on Shabbos. And so, therefore, on Shabbos, a person's not going to come to carry it because it's muksa, and you're not so concerned. But on Yontif, you are, you could be more concerned. But if he holds like Reb Shimon, right, that there's no muksa here, so mali Shabbos, mali Yontif, then what's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? You should be allowed under any circumstance. Let's go by Rav Kibbe Yehuda Tzurile. Does Rav actually hold like Reb Yehuda? Wait a minute. The Habomine to Rav, it was once asked before Rav, what is the rule of moving a Hanukkah candle before Chabore b'Shabbata, before Chabore, some goyish, oh shoot, whoops, some goyish priests on Shabbos. So they said you're not allowed to light fires on certain days, and then if they would catch you So you could be in trouble. So if they were coming, you'd have to move them. Although shapritami, you're allowed to move them. Shatzat chakshani, because when something is a situation of difficulty, so the rules are different. Tamri lohu Rav Kahana Rav Ashi l'Rav, because the Kahana and Rav Ashi said to Rav, Hachi hilchasa, is this indeed the halacha? They said, you know, Rav Shimon, you can really rely upon him in difficult circumstances. Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, wheat that was planted in the ground, and eggs that were beneath a chicken or a hen, and they're starting to incubate or something. Mahu. Kiles le'le Rishon Muksa, heich lo dachye biyadayim. Heicha de dachye biyadayim, isle muksa odom adashani. So I guess the person that put the, just like you planted the thing, you put the eggs under a rooster. So the Rishon would say, there's no muksa where a person didn't do the action with his own hands, but if a person did it with his own hands, maybe it is considered muksa, or maybe there's no difference. In muksa Rishon, ela shemen shebener b'shashu hudolik, ho v'huks l'mitzvah v'huks l'isur. The only example of muksa, according to Shimon, is oil in a lamp while it's burning, since it was set aside for a mitzvah, right? The mitzvah Shabbos candles. It was also set aside for Isser, and it becomes prohibited because maybe you'll extinguish the flame. But Leslie hooks of the mitzvah, so wait a minute. Does he not hold that an object set aside for its mitzvah without any Isser is an issue? V'hatanya says in the Braisa, Sikha kihilchasa v'itra b'kramim v'sadidin v'mitzuyon v'tol b'agozin afar seikin shkedim v'rimonim ufar kile anovim v'ataros shel shiwolin yeno shmanim v'salsos aslas tapim hen admatzi yom tovachin. So I'm going to ask sukkahs. A person who put on the roof of their sukkah the proper kind of schach, and then they decorated it with all kinds of colored tapestries, and they hung nuts, peaches, almonds, pomegranates, these grape branches, wreaths made of stalks, wine, and oils and flowers. You're not allowed to use them and eat from them until the end of the last day of Yontif, because these things were all set aside for a mitzvah. But if a person made a tanai at the beginning, made it like a stipulation, so then everything will follow the stipulation. He can use them as long as he stipulated that. Wait a minute, who says that's according to Rav Shimon? This price is anonymous. Bar Yosef, Kameh, Rabbi Yochanan, Rechia, the son of Yosef, said before Rabbi Yochanan, Ein notlan etzim min ha-sukkah b'yomtiv, ela min ha-samachla. You can't take trees from the sukkah on Yomtiv, only from, you can't take wood from the sukkah that was, you know, made for shade or something. Ela min ha-samachla. Only that which is like near the sukkah, so bundles of wood or whatever that are not being used for the sukkah. Rav Shimon Matir, Rav Shimon allows you to take wood even from the sukkah itself, because he doesn't hold of muksa. V'shaven b'sukkos chag b'chag shehi asur v'misal ha'kol afitno. But he would agree that taking wood from the sukkah that was built specifically for the yantif of sukkos, so the, originally we were talking about any other yantif, if you had a you had a sukkah up. Here we're talking about if taking the wood from the sukkah for sukkahs is also during Yantif. But if you made a tanai, everything would be dependent upon exactly what you stipulated. Right. So in other words, we see that Rav Shimon prohibits using something due specifically to a mitzvah. Otherwise, he would allow you to do it. And that's why sukkahs would be different. But otherwise, with oil in a candle, it's similar to that. Since it was set aside for a mitzvah, then you should say it's set aside for the Isser. Right, so itmar nami amar chiva abba amar yochanan in books l'shem and elokay in shemesh v'nei v'shashu hudolik hol v'huks l'mitzvah z'huks l'sur. So we say, in other words, what it meant when it says there's no muksa. Rechiva abba said the only muksa that he has is shemen shebiner. It means something similar to oil in a candle. Since it was set aside for a mitzvah, it's also set aside for an isra. Amar yehuda amar shmuel in books l'shem and elok grogros v'tzimukim bilvad. Yehuda said the only prohibition of muksa according to Rav Shimon is dried figs and raisins. The situation is a person took figs and raisins up to the roof. They wanted to dry them in the sun. And in this situation, Shimon says they're asar on Shabbos because of muksa. Since the beginning of the process, they smell bad and they're not really edible. So a person really consciously is setting those aside. So it says, "Gemara, midi achrin alo? Do you mean to say that no other items except for grogros and simukim? V'altanya, hayochel b'te'enim v'hosir v'he'elon l'gaglas v'men grogros." A person was eating figs, and then whatever was left over, he took up to the roof to make them into dried figs. B'anavim v'hosir v'he'elon l'gaglas v'men simukim. A person who had grapes, and then whatever he was eating, he took up to the roof and left them there to become raisins. Lo yochel ad she'yazmin. He should not eat unless he designates them to be eaten before Shabbos. And the same thing would be true about peaches and chavush is a quince and any other type of fruit that a person left out to become dried fruit. Money. So who's this opinion? If you say this is Rabbi Huda, if you say in a situation where he didn't even reject it with his own hands, there would still be muksa. Then when he said, when he did, you know, rejected it himself and put them there by his own hands, isn't that obvious? So this is kol shekin. I love Rishimin. It clearly must be Rishimin. So it must be like Rishimin. So this is Gemara Olam Rabbi Huda. Really, it's like Rabbi Huda. The ochel it's tshechulei. And it's necessary for the to discuss that the person was eating. You might think that since the person is in the middle of eating, he doesn't require any hazman, any you know, designation of the thing. And if he changes his mind, he can go get the figs back. No, once you brought them up to the roof, a person has stopped thinking about them. They are now no longer part of his consideration. And they're completely set aside. Bomine Rishimin bar Rebbe me Rebbe. Rishimin, the son of Rebbe, asked Rebbe. Memhei amud beis. Patzilei temara. That is like an unripe date. Le Rishimin mahu. What is the halacha according to Rishimin? Ein muksa Rishimin, ela grogros v'tzimukim. He told him, no, there's no muksa according to Rishimin. Only the situation of dried figs and raisins. Rebbe lesley muksa. Does Rebbe not hold of muksa? Dutnan, it says in the Mishnah, ein mashkin v'shokten es hamid borios. You're not allowed to give water. So this is talking about a situation that on a yantif, you can't give water to, you know, desert animals or slaughter them. So the reason you would give water, I guess, is because if they're less dehydrated or they're more hydrated, then then it's easier to remove their hide. So desert animals, you're not allowed to water them or slaughter them. On Yantif, because they're considered muksa, because people, you know, usually they're just out there grazing in the fields, and people do not really deal with them. V'shochten es habayasos, but you can give, right, to mashkin v'shochten es habayasos, but you can water and slaughter domesticated animals. V'tanya, elehim midbaris, water midbaris, kol sheyotzos pesach v'nasos berevia. Animals that go out on Pesach and only really come back in the rainy season, so they sort of wander around. Domesticated animals, were in this context, are talking about animals that go out to graze outside the city and then they come back and sleep within the city. Rabbi Omer, elu ve'elu bayasosin. Both of those animals would be considered domesticated. And v'lehem midbarios, wild, you know, desert animals, wilderness animals, maybe a better way to say it. Kol sheros be'afar, or be'efer. I never knew how to pronounce it exactly, but it means that they graze in a marsh. The ein nichnasos liyishuv lo bimosachama lo bimosach geshamim, and they don't come into the town neither in the summer nor in the winter. So they're always out there. Iba sema haninami ke grogros v'tzimukin damyan. Really, you could say that both these situation of non domesticated animals that are out there are like figs and raisins, and therefore Rav Shimon would agree with this. If you want, Rabbi Huda was just saying to him that according to Rav Shimon, that this would be the answer. But he doesn't actually hold like Rav Shimon. A third possibility. In this brisa, he was telling them according to the sheet of Zerban. Could be that Rabbi was saying, according to me, I don't have muksa at all. But according to you, admit to me, Mias, at least. That when they go out at Pesach and they come back during the year, they would consider domesticated animals. Rabbanan, I'm really low, midbarsin, and then when they say back, no, I consider those to be non-domesticated animals. Rabbanan said, the Rabbanan, the halacha of Shimon, the halacha is like of Shimon, and the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan actually ever say this, there was a certain elder man from Kruya, Va'amrile Sruya. And some say he was from Sruya, Meir Rabbi Yochanan. And he asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Kinesh Tanagos, Mahu Little Tule B'Shabbos. A roost of a hen. Are you allowed to move it, like a nest of a hen? Are you allowed to move it on Shabbos? Mahu Little B'Shabbos. I would like, Klum Asi Ela Sanagon. I mean, it was made only for hens. And it wasn't designated for use by people. And therefore, moving it is Aser. You're not allowed to move it. Hachamai Skina, just like Efroch. Mace, Efroch mace. We're dealing with a situation here where there's a dead chick, and that would be the issue. So, in other words, that's why the situation would maybe be an issue, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Hanalecha Lemar Bar Amemar Mishmei de Rava. This is all good according to the Marbar Amaremar in the name of Rava. To Amar, Modahai Rav Shimon Balei Chaim Shemeso Shosur, and that Rav Shimon agrees that dead animals are prohibited to be moved on Shabbos due to Muksa. Ella, Lamar, Bereid Rav Yosef, Shemei de Rav, Damar Chalukai Rav Shimon, Afilu Balei Chaim Shemeso, that Rav Shimon disagreed even about dead animals, Shein Mutar, he said you're allowed to move them. My Ikala Meimar. Then what will you say? Hachmai Eskina, Bede Islei Bei Beitza. We're talking about a situation where there's an egg that was laid on Shabbos, because an egg laid on Shabbos is considered Muksa if you're using the egg, and therefore, because the thought of using that egg never entered anyone's mind before Shabbos, because it didn't exist before Shabbos. Rav Nachman, Mandala Islay Muksa Islay Nolad. So Rav Nachman said, wait a minute. So the Gemara says, didn't Rav Nachman say, the person who has Muksa also holds of Nolad, of a new thing being born, that's also prohibited. Mandala Islay Muksa Islay Nolad. But if something fresh comes, like this egg, it's not a problem. The Isbe Betas Efroch. So we say, well, yeah, we have to be referring to a case where it has an egg. With a chick in it. Rav Shimon would definitely agree that moving an egg of that kind is prohibited, since it's neither fit for humans or animals to consume. Ki asa Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan al-Kavir. Rabbi Yitzchak, the son of Yosef, came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He said halacha, that Rabbi Yochanan said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. That there is such a thing as muksa. Rav Shimon Levi halacha Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon Levi said halacha is like Rav Shimon. Rav Yosef, Haini Dor Marav, Rav Chanan, Rav Yochanan, Amar halacha Rav Shimon. Amr v'les v'lei la svira lei. So they said the halacha is like Rav Shimon, and it's implied, however, that he doesn't be'etzem hold that that's the halacha. Amr le Abaye le Rabbi Yosef. Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, v'atl tezer Rabbi Yochanan ki Rabbi Yehuda. Do not hold that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Abba de min Chaifa. They came to the house of Rabbi Abba from Chaifa. V'nafal minarta al glime d'Reb Asi v'lo taltala, and a candelabra of some kind, right? A menorah, some kind of a lamp, fell onto Reb Asi's jacket, and he didn't move it onto his clothing or something. My time, why not? Let me show Reb Asi. Tell me the Reb Yochanan. I mean, it clearly is because Reb Asi, who was a student of Reb Yochanan, Reb Yochanan, Reb Yehuda's fairly, and Reb Yochanan obviously holds a Reb Yehuda just like Muksa, that he holds such a prohibition of Muksa. Amar le Menarta Kamrit. What are you talking about? A candelabra? Menarta Shani, a candelabra is different than Reb Achabar Chanina, Reb Asi, Hori Reish Lakish Bitzidon. There's a specific halacha that Reish Lakish ruled in the city of Tzidon. Menorah hanitelis biyado achas motor l'taltla b'shteyado vas l'taltla. A candelabra that can be carried with one hand, you're allowed to move on Shabbos. But if it's so heavy and cumbersome that you can't move it except with two hands, then it's aser. Rav Yochanan amar anu en lanu ela b'ner k'rav Shimon. Of menorah benitals biyado benitals b'shteyado vas l'taltla. Rav Yochanan said we're only allowed to carry an oil lamp according to the opinion of Rav Shimon, but regarding a candelabra. Says Rabbi Yochanan, whether it can be carried in one hand or two hands, you're not allowed to move it. At the time of my, what's the reason? Rabbi Yosef said, because something that heavy, a person designates a fixed place for it, and it's considered like a permanent part of the house. Therefore, moving it is like dismantling the house, even though it's not technically attached. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi said to Rabbi Yosef, the hakilas chasanim da'adam kovei lo makom. What about a a canopy for a chasan, which is something that a person makes a set place for. The chasan's canopy. We're on Mem Vav Amud Aleph now. Mutar l'natosa u'mutar l'farka b'Shabbos. You're allowed to put it together, l'natosa, and you're allowed to dismantle it on Shabbos. Alam Rabbi b'shal chulios. We're talking about a special candelabra that was made of like individual parts. Then why would you be allowed to do it according to Rav Shimon? If you disassembled it and you would reassemble it, and reassembling it would be actually building something new, a keli on Shabbos. You know, they make a kli, a new kli. So my chulios, what do we mean when we say, so in other words, but then why would Reish Lakish permit such a thing? So my chulios, what do we mean when we say it's individual pieces? Kein chulios, it's similar to individual pieces, the ispe chidke, because there's grooves in the thing, and so it looks like different compartments. Like made of different like pieces. Hilkach chulios ben gedola ben ketana asurut lotatla. Therefore, we said like this. And when it comes to a candelabra that's made of actual chulios, whether it's small or whether it's big, it's prohibited to movement. Prohibited to move it. Gedola nami espe chidki. And also, if it's a big one, if it has grooves, you shouldn't move it. Gzeira atu gedola de chulios, because we're concerned that then you'll move a big one of chulios, which wouldn't be kipli, but katana despechetki. The disagreement would be a small one that has grooves. Ma'asavah gazrinan. One opinion is that we do make the gzeir. Ma'asavah lo gazrinan. Another opinion is that we do not make such a gzeir. Miyam Rabbiyachan hachid Rabbiyachan actually says so. Rabbiyachan kelach istam mishnah halachas is like a stam mishnah v'tnan, and this it says in a mishnah muchani shela bizman sheinishmetes, an undercarriage, right? When it can be detached in chibrula, then it's not considered part of it. Vein mendetesima, it's not measured with it. And it says well, it's not considered one kli. When it comes to protecting the internal parts of the carriage from the Ohel Hameis, ve'ein gorin osa b'Shabbos b'tan sheish l'amos, nor can you schlep it on Shabbos when it has money on it. That's a stam mishnah. Ha'ein l'amos, sorry, with a clear implication is that if there's no money on it, you can't move it. Vaval gav dehaver le'ben hashmashos, even though it was ben hashmashos, I mean, even though money was there, ben hashmashos. Amar Reb Zeira, tehei mishnasenu shalo hayu olav mos go ben hashmashos. The mishnah must be in a situation where there was no money on it, even ben hashmashos. Shalo lishbar drav shalom yachanan, and that way, this somewhat difficult interpretation allows us not to contradict Rabbi Yochanan's ruling. Amar Rav Shimon ben Levi. Pamachas halach Rabbi lidiyos pera. One time, Rabbi went to Dios pera. The hore b'menorah k'Rav Shimon b'ner. And he ruled regarding menorah, regarding a candelabra, the same way that Rav Shimon ruled with regards to an oil lamp. Did he say like Rav Shmuel, and to make it like Rav Shimon, with a candle, and say that it's motor adam ahorim b'menorah le'isura, or k'Rav Shimon b'ner b'terah? Did he say that it's aser, just like Rav Shimon said an oil lamp is permitted? Tanku, we absolutely do not know. Let the question stand. Rav Malkiya ikla lebe Rav Simloi v'tiltal shraga. Rav Malkiya came to Rav Simloi's house and moved an oil lamp that was put out. Ikbar Rav Simloi, the Simloi got upset. Rav Yossi glila ikla la'asher Rav Yossi Rav Chanina. He came to his house. Tiltal shraga v'ipkar Rav Yossi Rav Chanina. He moved a candle. Moved the lamp, and Rabbi Chanina got upset. Rabbi Bo ki ikla asur Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi havim atatzel shraga. When he came to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's, he moved the candle. Ki ikla asur Rabbi Yochanan lo matatzel shraga. When he came to Rabbi Yochanan's area, he wouldn't do it. Manashach. So he said, wait a minute. Ikar Yehuda sviyalei liyavik Rabbi Yehuda. Ikar Shimon sviyalei liyavik Rabbi Shimon. Who does he hold like? He should follow that opinion. Lo lam Ikar Shimon sviyalei. Really, he holds like Rabbi Shimon that is permitted. Rishon klod Rabbi Yochanan lo hava avid. But according to when he was with Rabbi Yochanan, he wanted to respect him, and therefore he wouldn't do something even though he knew it was permitted. Amar Yehuda shraga de mishcha shaylo tzulei a oil lamp. You're allowed to move de nafta, but if it's naphtha, you're not allowed to move it since the smell of naphtha is extremely unpleasant, and therefore the lamp is only used for lighting and nothing else. Rabbi Yosef, the Abi Tavar, they both said the nafta nami shaylo. So you could even move nafta to hold v'chazi l'chasos but mana, because that nafta lamp could be used to cover something up. Rabbi Evya ikloi lebe Rava. Rav Evya was coming to, he arrived at the house of Rava. Have ma'asan karet batina. His feet were like gross and disgusting with filth, with mud, with dirt. Asiv apurya kamid Rava. So he put them on the bed, on the couch before Rava. Ikbid Rava. So Rava was upset. For like making his, you know, furniture dirty. Balitzuri. So he wanted to get back at him by bothering him with like Torah questions, and then he wouldn't be able to answer something. So I'm like, my time a rabba for Rabbi Yosef, time a Torah shragged left and amishalotuli. So he said to him, what's the reason that Rabbi Yosef posted that you're allowed to move a lamp of nafta? Rabbi said back, because it's you could cover like a vessel with it. You can cover something with it. Elamayata kol tsroros shevachatzer metaltan. You should be able to move any. So he asked him, if that's the case, then you should be allowed to move any rock in the yard, because you could theoretically you could cover a vessel with it. So he said, but the vessel, it's the nafta lamp, has the status of a vessel, but pebbles don't have the right. The rocks don't have the status of a kli. Halakotars kli lamp. Milo Tanya, didn't we learn in a brisa? Memvavam abeis. Hashay rim vehanizam. Shayarim maybe vehan bracelets. Vehanizamim vehatabos and nose rings and regular rings. Harehin kekol hakelim hanitlam bechatzer. These are like all vessels that can be moved around the courtyard. Remember, ulam matamot's the reason. Hovei katoris kli alem, because they're considered a kli. Hachanami hovei katoris kli alem, since they're considered a kli, you'd be allowed to move. Rav Nachman Rietzik bricha achmana lokasei rova lever evya. Rav Nachman Rietzik said, thank God, Rava didn't succeed in embarrassing Rav Evya, and he managed to successfully answer all of his difficult blamdisha questions. Rama the Abayel Rama. Abaye asked Rabba, Tanya, Mosar Hashemen Shebener v'Shebekara Oser. The leftover oil that's in a lamp or in a bowl is Oser, is us to use on Shabbos. V'Rabbi Shimon Matir, but Rabbi Shimon permits us. Alma l'Rabbi Shimon l'Aslei Muksa. So we see Alma, we see from here, Rabbi Shimon l'Aslei Muksa. Rabbi Shimon doesn't have Muksa, V'Rabbi Minhu. But we have a contradiction there. So Shimon Amar Kol She'ein Mumo Nikar Me'erev Yom Tov in Zemin Hamuchan. Where Shimon says any bechor, this is a firstborn animal whose blemish, whose mum is not visible before Yom Tov, is not considered among animals prepared for Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to slaughter it. So if it's not prepared in advance, then it's considered. You see, it's considered set aside. You see, the muksa. So he said it's much, much different. In the situation of a candle, a person is like waiting. When will the candle go out? He knows it's going to go out. He knows for sure it's going to go out, and he knows that there's going to be leftover stuff. Does a person expect this animal to get a blemish and then it can't be offered as a bechor and then he's going to be able to slaughter? Like he doesn't expect that. A person will say, well, really is thinking, who says it's going to get a mum? And if it does, who says it's going to be considered a mum kavua, a permanent blemish? And then, even if it is a mum kavua, who says there's going to be a chacham who's going to agree with that, who's going to be around? So there's so many possibilities, that, and therefore it's not considered before Yantif. This possibility is really doesn't enter a person's mind as a real possibility. Rambam said a person is allowed to do hafaras nedarim. A woman who made a promise to let's say not to eat a certain food, her husband can do hafaras nedarim on Shabbos and shal nedarim shehein l'tzorech haShabbos. And a person can also do she'ela on nedarim that to have a need for Shabbos. So if a person regrets or something. A netter that he made, and it's going to influence his Shabbos. Why is that? I mean, why is a person allowed to do that? Who says, right, if a person wants to, why would she be allowed to eat that food that she said she wasn't going to eat? So even if the food should still stay muksa, because who says her husband will agree to do hafaras and dharma? It's up to the husband. He has a special right to do hafaras. She's not able to do hafaras. So Hasam Kidra Pinchas Mishmei de Rava. In the situation of the Darm, we explain this based upon Rav Pinchas quoting Rava. Darm Pinchas Mishmei de Rava, Kol Hanoderes Aldas Baal Himoderes. A woman who makes a neder has in mind that whatever, it depends upon her husband's consent when she's taking that vow, because he could do hafara. And therefore, she knows that whether or not she's going to be able to eat this food is going to depend on him, and therefore, it's not an issue of being set aside. Tashma, Mishal Nedarm Shal Tzorech HaShabbos b'Shabbos. You're allowed to do She'ela on the Darm that are needed for Shabbos on Shabbos. Why is that so? Why don't we say, who says a Chacham is going to be available? So to hear, why don't we say, who says a Chacham is going to be available to do, for us in the Darm? Meaning, the answer is no, because over there, when it comes to Nedarim, if you don't have a Chacham, there's another recourse, and you can get three regular people. But when it comes to a Bechor, you absolutely need a Chacham, and there's no recourse of three average people. Rabbi Abai the Rabbi Yosef. Abai raised a question before Rabbi Yosef. Meet Amar Shimon comes to Mutter L'Tazla. Did Rabbi Shimon really say that if it went out, you're allowed to permit it? Kavsa in lo kavsa lo. I mean, that would imply that if it went out, yes, and if it didn't go out, then no, then you're not allowed to move it. My time at Dilma Behadi to knock at la kavya, because maybe when you're moving it, the candle's going to go out, or the lamp's going to go out. Hashamay. But Rishimon says Davar Shem Iskaven is permitted if it's unintentional. You don't want this thing to go out. So it's Mutter. A person is allowed to schlep a bed and a bench and a chair as long as he's not intending to make a furrow in the ground. Kol Hecha de Chi Mechaven Ika Isura de Oraisa. So the Gemara explains like this. Well, any place where a person intends to perform the thing, then there's an issur d'oraisa, like putting out a candle. Ki lo miskaven, when there's no intention, goes Rabbi Shimon midirabanan. Then Rabbi Shimon says that it's only usher midirabanan. Kol hecha tichi mechaven, ika isur d'orabanan. Ki lo mechaven, so any situation where a person is intending to do one thing and does it, and it's d'orabanan, so then ki lo mechaven, if a person has no intention, shari Rabbi Shimon mechatchila, then Rabbi Shimon allows you to do the thing. So, in other words, digging a furrow in the ground is not a full act of choresh midoraisa, right? It's not plowing midoraisa, it's only derabanan. So then, if you were to do davar she'en miskaven, for that's completely motor lechatchila. Masiv Rabba, mochek sos mochen kedarka. Rabba asked a question. Clothing merchants are allowed to sell as they normally would to so even though the things that he's selling on his shoulders, right, he's going to put it onto his shoulders and show them off, and it's it could be shatnez, or it is shatnez. So as long as he's not intending to get benefit in the summer from the sun and the winter from the cold, then it would be okay. But more religious people, literally means more modest people, so then they would they're more careful about the mitzvahs, they would hang them on a stick behind them, and not even put them over their shoulders at all. But here, isn't it a case of a person intending to wear there should be an isur d'oraisa? And if it's not, then it should be Rava. Rather, Rava says, so you see that Rosh Hashanah doesn't distinguish between whether you're mechaven or you're not mechaven. Allah Amar Rava, nun zayin amad aleph, hanach l'ner shemen upsila, hol denasa. Bosses of our usher, leave a candle, oil, and wick. They're different. Since they became a bosses, which means a base for a prohibited object. In other words, even though Rav Shimon agrees that, even Rav Shimon would say that the flame on Shabbos is muksa, and since you can't move the flame, everything else becomes a bosses. Amr of Zera, Amr of Asi, Amr of Yochanan, Amr of Chanina, Amr of Romanus. Li hiter Rebbe letaltel machta be'efra. Didn't we learn? In other words, he said that Rabbi Huda Nasi told me that I could carry a coal pan with its ashes. Amar le Reb Zeirut Lerbasi. Me Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan actually says that. It says in the Mishnah. No, v'ha'evan biyado o kalkala v'ha'evan besocha. That a person could carry his son even if the kid is holding a stone, which is muksa. A person can carry a basket if there's a stone inside of it. We're talking about a basket that's full of fruit. Time it is a peri, unless they peri low, but it sounds like it's only if it's full of fruit. If it doesn't have anything else in it, then it's not. Okay, so how can you move the cold pan that's full of ashes? Eshtoim kesha chada. This is a pasuk in Daniel. It's an expression to mean like he was astonished and it's like shocked into silence for a while, for a short amount of time, an hour or whatever. The Amar, and eventually Rabbi Asi said, "Hachanami despe krotin." We're referring to a case where the coal pan has bits of incense in it that weren't yet burned. Rabbi krotin be Rabbi michashivi are bits of leftover incense, you know, considered significant in the house of Rebbe. They're not bottled to the ashes, and that this whole mixture is considered if you say they're useful for the poor. Didn't we learn that poor people's clothing are for the poor and rich people's clothing are for the rich, but rich people do not consider the poor people's clothing significant. So this regards the halachas of tumah, that defining these things, you know, it would really depend. For wealthy people, they have more fabric, and they're so. And the Amar Abaye, midi dehave agraf shel rei. The reason we have to move this is like a chamber pot of fecal matter. When something is disgusting, you're allowed to move it, even if there's absolutely no use for it on Shabbos. I mean, there's no muktzah restriction for graf shel rei, and that's what this would be too. Amar Rava, shtei tshuvos b'davar. Rava said there's two answers to this. Chada graf shel rei mos, chada mos. One is that a graf shel rei is absolutely disgusting. This isn't disgusting. What graf shel rei migale v'hamechase? Plus, a chamber pot is covered, and this is not. Amar Rava, ki avinu be'Rav Nachman havmetalton kanuna agav kimta. When we were in the house of Rav Nachman, we'd move a coal pan because of the ashes, and we did this even though. And we did this even though there were broken pieces of wood, you know, shavings of wood inside of it. Everyone agrees that if there are fragments, you know, broken pieces of a wick, then you wouldn't be allowed to move it. Rabbi said, you can't really bring a proof there because that was all taught in the Galil. And in the Galilee, oil is abundant and inexpensive, and therefore the broken wicks are not considered batel Levi bar Shmuel Ashkenu leRabbi Abba leRabbi Huna bar Chia to have a kami apitzcha debei Rav Huna. Levi bar Shmuel found Rav Abba and Rav Huna bar Chia who were standing at the entrance of Rav Huna's house. Amar lahu. So Reb Levi Bar Shmuel said to them. Levi Bar Shmuel said to them. Malach shemita shel tarsiim b'shabbos. What's halacha? We're reassembling a mita shel tarsiim b'shabbos, which is like a loom for weavers, which is usually like something collapsible that could be put. It was collapsible. You could put it back together. So could you do that on Shabbos? Amar lei shaper dami. Yeah, it's okay to do. Asla kamei Rav Yehuda. Amar harav Shmuel damri tavaya hamachzir. And Rabbi Shmuel both said that if you reassemble it on Shabbos, you're chayiv chatas. So it's also daraisa. Meisay hamachzir kana kanei menorah b'Shabbos. A person who reassembles a branch of a candelabra on Shabbos is chayiv chatas. Kanei sayadin lo yachzir mhichzir pater. But if it's a plasterer's pole. I guess like some kind of like long extension, like a painter, a chimney sweep or something. It's a plasterer. It has a number of pieces. So you can't do it l'chatkila. And if you did it, v'm hichzir potter. But if you did it, it's potter. But you're not allowed to do it. Rav Sivaya, Omar Karen Agula Chayev. He says a rounded horn, some kind of a trumpet, like a circular, you know, that can be taken apart and it's complicated. So Chayev. Then you're chayiv. Karen pshuta, a straight horn, which is really simple, potter, then you're potter. Inu de omer ki haitana de tani. They follow the following, the tana, who says, mal benos hamita, vekari hamita, uluvochim shel skivas, lo yachzer, v'mhichzer potter. So these are a bed frame, which is like a wooden frame, and then they had like ropes of the bed. They had these like chavolim, you know, these like cords, you know, that held up the bed. And legs of the bed, or the tablets of an archer. So that's a part of a bow that you pull the arrow back with. So if they were detached, you can't assemble them on Shabbos, but if you did, you're a potter. Mem zayin am a beis aval aser, but you're not allowed to do it. Velo yiska, you can't dig in and fasten the pieces together with the vimtaka. But if you did, chayev chatas, you'd be chayev chatas. Rishon Gamliel Omer, im haya rafui mutar, if it was loose and could be assembled easily, then it is permitted. Bei Rav Chama havamita glol nisa. In the house of Rav Chama, there was some sort of collapsible bed that was similar to a weaver's loom. Hava mahadri le biyomatava, and they would assemble it on Yontif. Reassemble. Binyan min hatsanhu. What's your opinion? Do you think this is like an unusual way of building something? Nehi yisur daraisa leka. It's true. If you build something in an unusual way, it's not the usur daraisa. Yisur rabbanu miyeka, but they're still nisur rabbanu. Amalei anak kershim ben gamliel sfirli da amar im hayaruf v'imoto. We say that kershim ben gamliel says if it's easy to do, it's loose, and it's easy to do, then it is permitted. It says the Mishnah. Nosim kli tachas haner lekabel nitzotzos. V'lo yitin l'socha mayim neshehu mechaveh. A person can put a kli underneath an oil lamp to receive the sparks of oil. And he's not allowed to put water into it because then he's going to be extinguishing the sparks. Says the Gemara, aren't you negating a vessel from being prepared? Because now no longer it's going to be, you're setting it aside. Because the sparks that fall into it are going to make it look so. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, right? As he said, Nitzotzos en bahan mamish. Sparks are not considered a significant enough thing. They burn out so fast. They don't leave anything there, and that's not considered mevatel kamechal. You'll still be allowed to move it. You shouldn't put water in it. Lematznan, stomach kerev yosi, damar gorm lekivu yoser. We say you shouldn't put the water into it because it's going to be putting out. So that sounds like the opinion of Rav Yossi, right? And we sounds like we have Stam Mishnah following Rav Yossi, who says gorim lekibu, even causing indirectly extinguishing his aser. It is, but is that possible? Is that so? How can you understand it? Amar Dom Rav Yossi only says it's Shabbos. Be'er Shabbos mi Amar. Rav Yossi say on erev Shabbos you couldn't put something out that was going to cause kibu later. V'chitei machanam b'Shabbos. And if you want to say, so too, it's referring to a situation only where you put it out on Shabbos. But Tanya, not on Kli. Tachas haner lekabel nitzotzos b'Shabbos. You place. We learned in a brisa. A person can place a kli underneath a lamp to receive sparks on Shabbos. Ain't tzarich lomar b'erev Shabbos. It goes without saying that you could do that on erev Shabbos. Lo yitin l'socha mayim. Neishu mechab b'erev Shabbos. Ain't tzarich lomar b'Shabbos. You shouldn't put the water in because mechaba on erev Shabbos and certainly not on Shabbos. Alav Rashi afilu tem rabbanon. So it says Rashi. Even if you want to say it's rabbanon, shani hachem mishu kaivus kibuyo. Here it's different because you're making it. They'll go out faster when they fall into water. Hadron aloch kira. Okay, starting the next pack. B'met tom b'met ain't tom. What? Can you do insulation with on Shabbos, and what can you not? So, you know, on Erev Shabbos, when you take a pan, a pot off the fire, you can insulate it in things that preserve the heat, but not that increase the heat. If it would raise the temperature of the pot, it's similar to cooking, and so you wouldn't be able to do it. So what can you do to hatmana with, and what can you not? So it says, you can't insulate. Not in in like this. This is like the, again, the solid residue of produce that has been pressed free of its oil, right? So everything that's what the gefes is. Lo bezevel, not with manure. Lo bemelach, not with salt. Besid, lo bechol, or lime or sand. Bein lach and bein yevashim, whether they are moist and whether they are dry. Below betevim, below bezagin, neither with straw or zagin is like stuff from grapes. So after grapes have been pressed, that's what's left. Below bemochin, nor with like, you know, shmatas, like soft rags or something. Below beasavin, and not with with grasses. Bezman shehin lochin, when they're moist. Aval tomnin bohen kishen yevashim, but you could use dry tevin, zagin, mochin, asavin, if they are dry. We're talking about gefes. This residue was oil gefes. Aval disumsumin shapir dami. But if it's a sesame, then it's okay. Odilma disumsumin tnan v'choshkein tisum. Or maybe we would say we're talking about sesame and certainly olive oil. So sesame seeds, it seems, would produce less heat than the olives. So tashma damer v'zeir mishum. Chad to Be'er B'yanei. Rav Zera said it in the name of one of the people from Rav Yanei's house, yeshiva. Kupa shetaman ba, a basket that a person insulated food in a mutter way. You know, it's a Also, lahaniach al gefes shel zesim. You're not allowed to hanicha to place it on the residue of olives. Shmamina shel zesim. So you can see from here that we're talking in our Mishnah about gefes shel zesim. Because otherwise you would have said even sumsum. La'olam em lachal in yatmana de sumsumi nami aser. Actually, really, you could say that with regard to actual hatmana, even sumsum is aser. But with regard to la'inyan asuke havla mem chesam an olive, regarding heating food, making it even hotter, so it's not actually insulated, it's just resting on it, then de zesim maske havla de sumsum laske havla. It could be that olive gefes can raise the temperature in a way that that sesame does not. Rabba and Rav Zeira, ikla'u levei reish galusa. They came to the house of the reish galusa. Chazyuha lahu avda de anach kuza demaya apuma de kumkuma. They saw a servant take a jug of cold water and put it on the top of a kettle that was filled with hot water. Naz hey Rabba. So Rabba, you rebuked him and told him he was doing the wrong thing. So Rabbi Zera said to him, why is this different than putting an urn on top of another urn, which you're allowed to do on Shabbos? So Hasam, okame ka mokim, hacha olude ka molin. He said, in a place where you put one urn on top of another, word, you're keeping it hot, you're preserving the heat. That's okay. Here, you're heating up something that was originally cold, and you're starting new heat in the upper vessel, and that you're not allowed to do. Hadar chazi the paras das todar apumi tekuba va'anach not le'alei. Then he saw the servant spread like a handkerchief over a vat of water, and put a cup, right, used to draw water from the vat on the handkerchief. So Rabba rebuked him again. Naze Rabba. Amalei was here, Amai. He said, why? Amalei, hashta chazis. So he said to him, now you'll see what happened. So later he saw that the servant was squeezing out the water that was absorbed in the handkerchief, which is daraisa. Amalei, maishna me pron ka. So he said, how is this different than a cloth? Or parvanka? Yeah, I mean, how is this different? You're allowed to spread a cloth over a vat on Shabbos. So Amalei Hasam lo kapidiloi, hacha kapidiloi. There, a person is not particular about it. Even if he squeezes it, he won't care. Here, but regarding the handkerchief, people care about it, so they're going to wring it out because they don't want it to stay wet. Velo b'tevin. Mishnah said you can't insulate a pot with straw. Bamine Rav Ada bar Masnam Abaye Mochin Shataman Bahen Mahu. If a person uses soft material to insulate a pot, is he allowed to move that material on Shabbos? Normally such, you know, shmatas are set aside because they have no use on Shabbos. Therefore, moving the Shabbos is no good. But here they were used to insulate a pot, so are they considered a kli which can move on Shabbos? So Abai says, listen, just because a person does not have a basket of straw to insulate his food, does he get up and give away his basket of shmatas? Like, what would that? Because obviously he preferred to have straw. It's less expensive. The only reason he used this material is because there's no straw available. But doesn't want them to be used for any other purpose. Doesn't want them to be ruined, and therefore it remains muksa. Let's say the brisa supports tomnin begize tsemer ubitzife tsemer ubelashono shel argamon. A person can insulate his food on Friday in tzipe semer, in like fleece, zargize semer, like fleece, tzipe semer, or combed wool, l'shono shel agamon, or like, you know, this is like dyed wool that's dyed purple, uvemochen, and in his shmat, is a soft material, ve'ein metatlo oso, but he may not move them. Yimishamha, low area. So Gemara says, so that right, that sounds like a baye, right? So he said, if that's the issue, there's no proof. It could mean that if he did not insulate anything in them, then he cannot move them. Because then they very much say, "Ihachi, my lemmer." Of course. Well, if you obviously that goes without saying. Why would you need to say that? Ma'udite mechaz lemizga alayu kamashmalon. You might think that because they're suitable to sit on them, because they're soft and they're nice or whatever. Kamashmalon, that they're not, and therefore they're considered mukzer. Chizda shayla aduya odra levei sadia b'shabbat. Chizda permitted returning stuffing into a pillow. On Shabbat, that are coming out on Shabbos. Esvei Ruchanan bar Chizda l'Ruchizda. Ruchanan, the son of Ruchizda, asked Ruchizda, Matirin beis atzavar b'Shabbos avalo poschen. We know you can untie like the neck opening on a shirt on Shabbos, but you can't open it for the first time. So if it was never opened, you can't open like the neck. But if it came back from the laundry or something, you can untie it. And you can't put soft material into a cushion on a blanket, a pillow or a cushion. I guess those are two different kinds. Karen Kessa, so like a pillow. On Yantif, the answer of Loma or Shabbos, and it goes without saying that you couldn't do that on Shabbos. So that seems to contradict Rechizda. Lo kasha, habachate habatik, it depends. The Bryce is referring to new pillows, and you can't stuff new pillows. Rechizda was saying restuffing a pillow that was already stuffed, and so something came out. Tani nami hach, we also learned that in Bryce. Einos ha-smokon lo l'socha kar v'lo chesed b'yantif. You're not allowed to put these soft shmata things into a pillow or a cushion on Yantif, and certainly not on Shabbos. Nashu, but if they came out, you can return them on Shabbos. Ain't alone Yantif, and certainly goes without saying on Yantif that you could too. Avri Yehuda Rava Posek b'Tzabas Shabbos. Person who opens up the neck of a shirt on Shabbos, Chayev Chatas, is obligated a Chatas because he made a kli. Maskeflor of Kahana. Kahana asked a question. Memches on the base. Ma bein zulu magufas chavis. What on earth is the difference between this and the stopper of a wine barrel, which you're allowed to pierce on Shabbos in order to serve wine? Rava said they're different. The opening of a shirt neck is a connection. It's a part of the actual thing. Magufas chavis, the stopper of the barrel, is not, even though it's sealed in place, it really is a separate thing, and therefore you're just breaking the seal. So no new vessel is being fashioned after that. It's not. Shalol shel kovsin. He asked like this. He brought a Mishnah. Yeah? To ask a question. The Mishnah says, the garments that a launderer sewed together with loose temporary stitches to avoid using them. V'shalshal shel maftechos, so a ring of keys. V'abigat shehu tafur b'kilayim chibur l'tumah. Or a garment that was sewn with kilayim. So let's say you had like, right, with shatnez, meaning you had a woolen garment that was stitched with linen. So it needs to be pulled out, even though they're attached only temporarily. These are considered connections regarding tumah. Achiyatzcha lahatir, until a person actually begins to untie them and shows that he doesn't want them attached. So you see, almost shlobishas melachanamichim. We see even when these things are not in use, meaning even the launder finished washing the clothes, it's still considered connected until a person disconnects them. Vraminu makoshoso yalakordom chibur l'tumah b'shas melacha. Gemara says that. We have a contradiction because we have a stick that was made into a yad lekardum, right into a handle for an axe. It's considered a connection with regard to tuma whenever it's in use. B'shas melacha in shlosh nazlov. It sounds like only when it's in use for its work and otherwise not. We say that's in case of the axe, when a person, when not in use, a person is likely to throw the stick back into the wood pile. So for here, but whereas here, even when it's not in use, a person prefers that they remain attached. Because if they get dirty, he's going to have to launder them again, and it'd be easier to launder everything at once. And therefore, he would rather keep them together so he could just do all the laundry much more easily. Basura masnu la laha shmata mishmeid rechizda. In Surah, they taught this teaching in the name of Rechizda. Pumadisa mas mishmeid rechana. Pumadisa, they taught it that rechana taught the same thing. Omer mishmeid rechana. And others said it from Rava. Man tana hamilsa da omer rabbanan kol mechur lo hareu kamohu. Who is the tana that taught that anything attached to another thing has the same rules? Omer of Yehuda amarav, Rav Meir. Yehuda amarav says, it's Rav Meir. It's not. It says in a Mishnah. Beis hapach, ubeis hatavlin, ubeis haner shebekira, mitam b'magav, mitam b'avir. Beis hapach is a receptacle for an oil thing. Ubeis hatavlin is a receptacle for spices. Ubeis haner is a receptacle for a lamp. Shebekira that are in a stove. So they become tamei Through touching, through contact. If the wall of the stove becomes tummy, like a creepy crawly animal or something, so then these receptacles also become tummy. But they don't become richly impure through airspace. So if there's a creeping animal inside the stove that didn't come into contact with the walls, the stove itself becomes tummy. But the receptacles do not. Rishim says that they're always tahor, even if the animal came into contact. According to Rishim, they say these things are not considered like part of the stove. If they're like the stove, then they should be, even if they're in the airspace. And if they're not, and if they're touched, then why should they? Why if they touch the stove, do they influence the thing? So we say it must be. Right, the answer is like this. Really, they're not anything like the stove. They're not considered the same as the stove. For Rabbanu the Gazer Behu, the Rabbanu just made a gzeira about it. So if it's only a gzeira, so then why would they have made a gzeira only on touching and not on airspace? The Rabbanu just wanted to make a noticeable distinction so that a person would not come to burn truma and other holy things inside of it. And therefore they made on the receptacles that were in there only if it came into touch. And that way it's clear that's only Darabanan. And since it's Darabanan, a person will not come to burn Truma and Kutch. Tana Rabanan, Miss Masporus Shel Prokim. That's scissors that are made of different parts. The Ismel, or a shell reheat ne, so that's like the blade. It smells like a sharp blade of a carpenter. So chibur l'tuma can be removed, I guess, from the handle or something. So it's considered a connection regarding tuma. But ain't chibur l'haza, but it's not considered regarding sprinkling of water. For water is sprinkled on certain things to purify them from tuma if they touch the dead body. So each one of them needs to be done individually. In other words, they're not considered one item. And if you sprinkle this part, then you've gotten both parts. Manashach, so I don't understand. If it's considered one thing, I feel as a nami, then it should be you sprinkle part of it. I mean, you never get... Sprinkling doesn't mean water covers... It's not like a mikvah where it covers the entire thing. So if it's one item, it's one item. And if it's not considered one thing, then even for Torah, it's not. Because min haTorah, unless you're working with it, it's not considered attached. When you're working with it, the attachment makes it one thing, and when you're not, then it's not. Mem tes amad aleph. It goes Rabban al tuma shelo b'shas melacha mishum tuma shebishas melacha. The Rabban made a gzeira on tuma that was not at a time of melacha because of tuma that's b'shas melacha. So they said at any time it'll become tuma. Hazah shebishas melacha mishum hazah shelo b'shas melacha. And they said to do hazah when it's being done, even when it's not. Bisman she, okay, and therefore it's all stringency, so you need to be stringent on both sides. Bisman shehen lochin. When they are wet. What do you mean when we say that these items were moist? Do we mean naturally moist, or do we mean that they got soaked in some other liquid? I understand in our Mishnah, if you say they were wet from something else, then that's good. So if we're talking about, let's say, straw that was moist on its own. Well, it said straw and grapes and mochen and fabric. Mochen, lochen, machas, not saying, there's no such thing as fabric that is naturally wet, right? So Gemara says there is. Mimarta de beni itame. That is like wool that was taken from the thighs of the animal and it's damp from sweat. V'hada taner of Oshaya. Tomnin bichsus yevesh or peres yevesh, which Oshaya said, a person can insulate food in a dry garment and dry produce. Avalo bichsus lachav peres lachav, not in a moist garment or moist produce. Where do you find, right? Bichsus lachav machas atzeh chishkala. How could you have something that's clothing, right? That is moist from its natural state. So same thing. Animals between the thighs will have a sweat-soaked wool. Absolutely fascinating. Says the Mishnah, Tom Bixos of Paris, you can insulate a pot of clothing in produce, in clothing or in produce. You can insulate with clothing or produce, Bechanfe Yona, with dove's wings, Uvenasaurus shall charashim, in a carpenter's wood shavings, Uvenaurus shall peshdan daka, and in the chaff of thin flax, fine flax. Rabbi Yossi Omer Bedaka, Rabbi Yossi Oser Bedaka, he says you shouldn't do it with fine flax. It's usher umatir begasa, but it's permitted in coarse, thick flax. Amar Rav Yanai, tefillin tzrichin guvnaki kelisha bal kenafayim. Once we mentioned dove's wings in the Mishnah, say a very interesting thing. It says tefillin require a person to have a clean body, like Elisha, the wingman. Bal kenafayim, the wings man. Maihi, what is this? Amar Abai Amar shalot yafiach bohen. Abai said that means that you can't pass gas in them. Rav Amar shalishin bohen means you shouldn't sleep in them. But my karle bal kenafayim. What is this Elisha bal kenafayim, who had such a clean body? Why was he called bal kenafayim? Shpamachas gozer machas romi yerusha shmad al Yisrael. Shkol minyak tefillin inakru es mocho. The wicked Romans said that any Jewish person who wears tefillin will have his brain pierced. Elisha would put them on and go out into the shuk. Ra'u kistor, or kastor echad, rots mipanav. So an official saw him, so he ran away from him. Ratzacher, this policeman chased him. When he caught up with him, he took them off his head and held them in his hand. What is this in your hand? He says, I got wings of a dove. He opened up, he pried his hands open, or opened his hands, and found that they had turned into wings of a dove. Because of this amazing miracle that happened, they referred to him as Elisha, the wings of the dove man. Why specifically did he say, or did he have the right to say that he had a dove's wings? Mishum de imtil knesi sholim. The Jewish people are compared to a yonah. Never kan feyonah nechem bechasef. My yonah kan, right, wings of a dove covered with silver. So my yonah knafeha meginas olah, just like a yonah is protected by its wings. Afisol mitzvos meginas olah. So to the Jewish people, mitzvos protect them. Bin zorah shel charoshin. In a carpenter's wood shavings, we said ibar lehu Rabbi Huda on a sorah shel charoshin kai on a orah shel pishtan kai. We asked Rabbi Huda, said what was he talking about? Was he referring to carpenter's wood shavings or chaff of flax when he said about only thin and not coarse? So was he talking? Which one was he talking about? Tashma d'tani Rabbi Huda omer orah shel pishtan daka rehi kezevel. Rabbi Huda said that the chaff of fine flax is like manure and it adds heat. So you see that when he was talking about only fine, only coarse and not fine, he was talking specifically about flax when he said that. Next mission. Tomen be shilchin u metaltalin osan begize tzemer ve imetaltalin osan. A person can insulate this cooked food on Shabbos, right, on Shabbos, in hides, and he can move those hides on Shabbos, but in woolen fleece, he cannot move the... In right, woolen fleece, he can't move this wool. Okay, so so what should he do? He lifts the cover, which he's allowed to, and then the other stuff falls off by himself, so he doesn't even have to touch it. If a person has a basket filled with stuff, so he leans a basket on his side so that the fleece will fall to the side, and he takes the pot. Otherwise, this wool will collapse when he lifts the pot, and then he won't be able to put the pot back, because he can't move the wool to make room for the pot. Okay, because it's mukzav. He could take the pot off, and afterwards he could put it back. Says the Gemara. Yasser b'Yochanan ben Akinoi v'Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar v'Yasser b'Chanina bar Chama Gabayu v'Kamibaylo. Rabbi Yochanan bar Akinoi and Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, they were all sitting, and they asked a question. Shlochin shel bal habayis tznan. We're talking about the hides of a regular balabas can be moved. Aval shel uman, but if they're from a professional, came to copy the loyal metal linen. Since he was particular about them because he doesn't want them to get ruined, it'd be their his business, then you can't move them. Odilma shall umam tanan. Or maybe when we said you can move them, we even mean a person who's a craftsman who cares about them, a kolshkan shabalabas, and then certainly a person at home who has hides would be allowed to move them. Amdir of Yonasan Belazar, Mistavar shabalabas tanan. Most likely we're talking about the balabas, Aval shall umam kapitalai. But if it's a craftsman, then he cares about them. So said Rishon Rabbi Yossi, Mem Tes Amad Beis. Abba! My father, Shalacha Hafa, he was a leather worker. He worked with hides. Amar Havu Shalachin Vene Shevelem. And on Shabbos, he once said, bring me hides, and we can sit on them. In other words, even a craftsman can be done on Shabbos. Meisvei. Nesarin Shabbalabais. Nisarin shel balabais. So boards that belong to a regular person. Metaltos, you can move them. But if they're professional, you're a construction person, then you can't move them. Or any kind of craftsman who cares about them. V'chishav lases alem pas la'orchin. If a person thought to put on those things bread for guests, so if you want to use them as like a bread tray, then it's fine. Then they can be moved. Shanina started to cup of the life. So you say boards are different, that a person is definitely particular about them, that they don't get damaged. People don't want their boards damaged. But hides, on the other hand, people don't care so much about. Tashma, oros. Bain avudin, bain she'en avudin. When you have hides, whether they've been tanned or they haven't been tanned, much or tatum Shabbos, you can move them on Shabbos. Lo amru avudin el inyan tumuva. The only legal distinction between whether they've been tanned yet or not has to do with tuma. Then they will have differences when it comes to only tanned hides can become tame. My love, lo shana shel balabais, lo shana shel uman. You see that it would sound like it doesn't distinguish between a balabas and a craftsman. So we said lo shel balabais is only true about a regular balabas. Aval shel uman mai. What happens with a professional? A metatzim, you can't move them. Ihachi hadatani lo amar avudin el intum bovad. So then why does it say the difference is whether they're tanned or not? Say to begin with, this is not even true about every person. Living next to the name, but then remove bishel balabais, bishel uman lo. So you kula be balabais kamari. So you say no, because the whole thing is talking about a balabas, and therefore it wasn't necessary to make that distinction because that was the understood context to begin with. Ketanai, like the Brisa says, or shel balabas, balabais metaltel nason v'shel uman metaltel nason. So the hides of a balabas can be moved, but of an uman they can't be moved. Rabbi Yossi says you could move both of them. So the same great sages who were sitting around later discussed the following, right? And the following question: Haditnan avos melachos abim chazar achas kenegin mi. When it says there are 30, 40 minus 1 melachos, what does that number correspond to? Those 39 correspond to the labors that were done in constructing the Mishkan. Those words, melacha, melachta, meleches, in the Torah come 39 times by Rav Yosef. When it says Yosef went home to do his work, went to the house to do his work. So are we talking, is that included? Let's go get a Torah and count them. And indeed, the story is that they didn't move that from that space until they brought a Torah and counted the numbers. The reason that they had they weren't sure is because it said in the Pasuk, the labor they had was enough. Miminyanahu v'kamanda melasos trachav nichmas. Do you say that word hamalacha haisa dayam, and then that would mean that you don't count this one of Yosef because he was lasos trachav nichmas. He actually had gone into the house not to do actual malacha, but to have an appropriate relationship, a right intimate. A relationship with Mrs. Potiphar, and that was his intention, and then he overcame that later. Obviously, you know the story. Maybe Vayava Habais Lasa Melachto actually is considered actual labor, is the interpretation of the pasuk, and then it's considered one of those 39. And here where it says that the labor was enough, that they brought all the materials and completed all the preparatory labor, but it's not actually discussing doing any of the labor itself. Teku, this question remains standing. Tanya says in a braisa, keman de amar keneged avodos hamishkan. So it's a braisa that was taught. It says in a braisa that it corresponds to the work done in the Mishkan. The Tanya ein chayadin ela al melacha. You're not obligated only on labor, shekiyotzu ha'isa mishkan, that the same sort of labor was done in the Mishkan. Heim zaru, v'atem lo tizru, heim kotru v'atem lo kotru. They planted things you shouldn't plant. They reaped you shouldn't reap. Heim helu was akrushim mikaka lagola. They took boards up from the ground up to the wagon. V'atem lo tikansu mishkan z'reb m'shizachid. You shouldn't take things, carry things from public domain to private domain. Heim horidu es akrushim mikaka lagola. They took the boards from the wagons down to the ground. V'atem lo tzi yomesh sayachid m'shizachid. You also should not take out from Mishas Hayachid the Rishas Harabim. Hem hotziu me'agol agol. They took from one wagon to another. I don't want to see Mishas Hayachid the Rishas Hayachid. You shouldn't move something from a private domain to a private domain. Mishas Hayachid the Rishas Hayachid. My covet. When you move it from one private domain to another private domain, what are you actually doing? What labor is that? My Rabbi Dami Tabai Levi Tamer Rav Adar Bar Ava. Rabbi and Rav both said, and Rav Adar Bar Ava said the same thing. We're talking about when you take it from a private domain to another private domain through the public domain. The Gizei Tzemer Ve'ein Metaltzelin. So the Mishnah said, a person can put something in wool, but he can't move them. So, Amar Rava. Rava said, Lo shanu ela shelo taman bohen. We're only talking about a situation where a person didn't insulate using them, but if he insulated with them, then you could move them, because by insulating food in that wool, and that, so then you show that you want to use it on Shabbos. Esvei hahu me rabbanan bar yome l'Rava. A certain one of the Rabbanan, who it was his very first day in this yeshiva, asked Rava, Tomnin begizei tzemer ve'emetaltalos on ketzurosa. He said that our Mishnah says a person can insulate in it, but you can't move it. So then how, Taka, do you insulate the food in wool? What do you do if you actually want to remove the pot? Nun amad alef. Notel es hakisui ve'enoflos. So you lift the cover, and they fall off. So this is different than Rava's statement, because Rava said that you can't move it on Shabbos. Even the one that was insulated can't be moved on Shabbos. So here's what it means. Rava lo shanu ela shelo yachdan, meaning Rava said you could move it, right? And the Mishnah is saying clearly you can't. So here's what it means. Rava lo shanu ela shelo yachdan lehatmana. Rava means that the halacha that you can't move it on Shabbos is only when it was not designated for hatmana. But if it was designated for hatmana, then you can move it, because then it's not mukzah at all. It manami ki asar Rava amar Yaakov amar Asi ben Shaul amar Rebbe lo shana el sheyichdan l'tuma aviyichdan lichdan hatmana aviyichdan hatmana metalzon. So he said exactly the same thing. If it's designated for insulating food, then you could move it. Ravina Omer. Ravina says b'shel hef take shanu. We're talking about something. Wool that was taken down from a merchant's shelves. Heftek is his shelves. So it was certainly not originally used, designated for insulating food, and it's going to be returned to those shelves to be sold. Therefore, it's considered muksa, even if it's used to insulate food. The same thing was taught in the Brisa. Kisei tzemer shel heftek, if you have these merchandise ones, so in metatlanosa, then you're not allowed to move them. But if a balabas prepared them to use, then they could be moved. Tanya, Rabbi Rachana Kamei Rav. Rabbi Rachana taught a brisa before Rav. Chorios shel dekel shel gadon la'ed v'nichon la'yeshiva tzarech l'kasher. If you have hard branches of a palm tree that a person cut for firewood, and then he reconsidered and decided that he was going to use them for sitting, so they have to be tied before Shabbos. And then they can be moved on Shabbos like any other utensil in the house. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Amar in Tzarech L'Kasher, they don't need to be tied. But Tani La, Vehu Amar La. So he explained it. He said this, and then he explained Halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Itma Rav Amar. So it was taught that Rav said Kosher Ushmul Amar Choshev. Rav said he ties the branches together for Shabbos, and Shmuel says he just has to think about that he wants to sit on them on Shabbos. That's enough. Rav Asi Amar Yoshev, and Rav Asi says he has to actually see. He's just sit on them before. Afal pi shelo kisha, afal pi shelo chishev. Even if he didn't think about it consciously, and even if he didn't tie them up. Bishlam Rav, who de Amar Ketana Kama. I understand. Rav is saying like the Tanakama. Ushmul hu de Amar Kama Shem Gavli. Alvar Asi de Amar Kaman. Who's Rav Asi like that? He says you just have to have sat on them. Who de Amar Ki Hatana? He's saying like the following Tana. De Tanya Yotzin Bifkorin Uvitzipa. A person can go out in public on Shabbos with pakorin, which is combed flax, uvitzifa, or combed wool, bisman shetzva'an b'shemen v'karchan b'meshicha. When he dipped them in oil and tied them with wine, lo tzavan b'shemen, but if he didn't dip them in oil, v'lo karchan b'meshicha, and he didn't tie them with twine, en yotzim he's not allowed to go out with them, v'm yotzim b'hen sha'achas miba'od yom, but if he went out with them when it was still daytime, even for a short amount of time, then afal pisha lo tzav v'lo karchem b'mashicha motor lo tzis ben. Then even if he didn't dip them in oil or tie them into twine, then it's permitted to go out with them on Shabbos. So you see that that using an item before Shabbos enables you to use it on Shabbos and nothing else is needed. We also learned in a Mishnah, straw that's piled on a bed. So they want to use it for fuel or mix, right, or whatever. So then, or maybe mixed into clay or something. So you're not allowed to move it with your hand, but you can move it with your body, since that's not an unusual way to move straw. Aval imhayol of machal behema, but if that straw was animal food, or shayol of kar o sadin mi ba'od yonah, if there's a pillow or a sheet spread over it on Erev Shabbos while it was still daytime, I guess he laid on it before Shabbos, and then he can menana b'yado, he can move it with his hand. So you see that again, shma mina, you can move it even a brief use before Shabbos is considered enough, and therefore there is indeed a Tana that Reb Asi can be supported by a Tana too. He's not arguing with just our Reb Man Tana, the Pelagol of Rishim Gamliel. Who is this Tana who disagrees with Rishim Gamliel? Reb Chanina ben Akiva. It's Reb Chanina ben Akiva. Did he also redeem you when Dibi came? Amar Zairi Amar Reb Chanina. He said that Zairi said the name of Reb Chanina. Pamachas Halach Reb Chanina ben Akiva lemakom echad. One time Reb Chanina ben Akiva went to a certain place. Umatza Chorio shel Dekel shagadrim l'shem etzim. He found these hard branches of a palm tree that they had cut for firewood. The Amar lehem l'talmidav, and he said to his students, Tzu'u v'chashvu k'dei sh'nesu l'machar. Go out and have in mind, make sure to consciously have in mind, so that way we'll be able to sit on them the next day. V'lo yadana ibeis ha-mishte hava obeis ha-eva haya. And as he said, he didn't know if this situation was a wedding feast or if it was a house of mourning. Mitakamar ibeis ha-mishte hava obeis ha-eva hava dafka obeis ha-eva obeis ha-mishte t'triti aval hacha kasher in lo kasher lo. Now, from the fact that Ziri adds, I don't know if it was a wedding or a house of mourning. So you see, in those situations, people's minds are preoccupied, and therefore they don't have time to tie things. They're busy, and therefore they would think about it. But normally, in ordinary circumstances, either you tie them together, you would be allowed to, and if you wouldn't be allowed to, not. Rav Yehuda machnis adam malo kupaso afar va'osa ba kol tzarko. A person can bring a basket full of earth into their house on Shabbos, before Shabbos, and pour it on the floor, and then use it for all their needs on Shabbos. Darash, Marzutra Mishmei de Marzutra, de Rabba. So Marzutra taught the name Marzutra Rabba, but who Sheyichay lo Karen Zavis. This is only when you designate a specific corner of your house for that earth. Am Rabbanon Kamei de Rapapa. Rabbanon said before Rapapa, come on, Kirishim Megamliel. Who is this like? This is like Kirishim Megamliel. Dik Rabbanon Ham Binyan Maisa, but Inon Masa. Don't you say that you need to actually do something like tying the branches together? Am Rapapa, Filutem Rabbanon. You can even say it's Rabbanon. I can look on Rabbanon Domino Maisa. When do they say you need a Maisa? Let me do Bar Mevo de Maisa. It's only something where there is a Maisa that's normally done to it. But something that's not, there's not normally, it's not, you can't, there's no action to do with the dirt, therefore no. And let's say this is like a machlokas tanaim. Bekol chofin es hakelim chutz mikli kesef begar tikon. So a person can clean utensils with any type of cleaning thing, with the exception of silver with like gartikonis. So that was some sort of silver polish cream. Because it's not only, because the way that they used to do that, it was a little bit abrasive. So it didn't only polish the silver, but it also smoothed it out. Neser v'chol mutter. So you see from here that neser, which is natron and chol or sand, would be permitted. V'atani neser v'chol aser, but we said cleaning with natron and sand, natron, right? Neser and chol on Shabbos and sand are prohibited. Aser. Here's what they are disagreeing about. Maybe we say that one holds that you need to perform an action beforehand, and therefore you can't use sand because there is no action to be used for sand beforehand, and therefore it's prohibited. And the one who says it's permitted holds that you don't need to do an action for sand. Maybe that's why they disagree. No, that's not it. Everyone would agree that they don't need a mice of a lokasha. Harav Yehuda, Harav Shimon. One is the opinion of Yehuda. And what is it, Pu, right? And what is the opinion of Rav Shimon? Harav Yehuda de Amar Davar Shem Iskaven Aser. What is the opinion of Yehuda, who says a Davar Shem Iskaven is prohibited on Shabbos? Therefore, cleaning a silver utensil with sand is prohibited because you unintentionally smooth the vessel at Harav Shem Adamar Davar Shem Iskaven Mutter. But he says it doesn't matter because you're not intending to do it, you're allowed to do it. Pamayu Kim Tulah Hadashari, Kerab Shimon. So who are we saying that it's Mutter? We said it's Mutter like Rav Shimon. Ema Sefer, let's look at the end. Avalo Yichav Bohen Saro. You shouldn't wash your hair with them on Shabbos. Ve'i Reb Shimon And if it's following Rishimen does permit it. Ditnan, like we said in a Mishnah, Nun Amud Beis. I said in the Mishnah, Nazir Chofef Umifas Pes Avalos Sorek. A Nazir, who is not allowed to cut his hair, can wash his hair with sand and separate it with his fingers, but he can't comb it because when you comb it, hair comes out. So Rav Shimon apparently allows you to wash your hair even when in a situation where it's prohibited to cause hair to fall out. The fact that it might come out inadvertently is just not an issue. Elohava ha Rabbi Huda hi. It must be that both of these are Rabbi Huda. Betrayed tonight, leave Rabbi Huda. And it's two different Tanaim who have a difference of opinion of exactly what, right, following within Rabbi Huda's Shita, they disagree. Hai Tana leave Rabbi Huda sover garir. Hai Tana leave Rabbi Huda sover lo garir. One Tana holds that sand and Neser, they scrape, and if you're not allowed to do it, it says they don't scrape it significantly enough, and therefore it's not really considered a problem. B'mayu kipta, Rabbi Huda, Ema Sefer. So wait, you just said it's like Rabbi Huda, but then look at the end of it. Avapon of Yadarag Mutter, you're allowed to do it on your face and your hands and feet. Hama Aber Seart, isn't that going to cause hair to fall out of face, hands, and feet? So Iba is Ema Bekotan. So either you can say it's talking about a child, Iba is Ema Ishu, you could say it's talking about a woman, Iba is Ema Besaris. Or you could say it's talking about a eunuch. All of these three have no facial hair, and therefore you're not concerned that the sand or the neser will cause hair to fall out. Rabbi Yehuda, offer levento shay. Yehuda says washing your face with powdered frankincense is permitted on Shabbos. And even if a person has a beard, because it won't cause hair to fall out. Rabbi Yosef, kuspa de yasmin shari, solid residue of jasmine is permitted. Amar Rava, afar pilpule shari, or ground pepper, is permitted. Amar Shesh is barda shari, and he says washing with barda is permitted. My barda, what is barda? Amar Yosef, tilsa ahala vitilsa asa vitilsa sigli. It's 1/3 ahala, which is aloe, 1/3 myrtle, and 1/3 sigale, violets. Amar Rav, Nechemia bar Yosef. Nechemia, the son of Yosef, said, "Kol hecha deleka ruba ahala shapir dami." Everywhere that there's a majority, that there's no majority of aloe, then you would be allowed to use any mixture like that. What is the rule about splitting olives on a rock on Shabbos in order to wash with the oil that comes out of those olives? He says, "Are you even allowed to do that on the weekday? And you're ruining food. You shouldn't be like taking food to wash yourself like that on the weekday when you have to throw away, right? There's, you split these olives in a way that they're no longer fit for consumption. You shouldn't be doing that. Maybe he disagrees with Shmuel, who says a person can do whatever he needs with bread. He doesn't have to be worried that the bread will be ruined. No, because bread doesn't get as disgusting and inedible, but splitting olives makes them disgusting and inedible. Amemar umar zutra. So they were sitting, and barada was brought before them for washing. So Rav Zeira didn't. They washed themselves with it, but Rav Sheshes would not. Mar Zutra wouldn't do it. So they said, "Don't you hold of Rav Sheshes that barada shari? That barada is okay." Mordechai said, "Bar mine demar de afilu b'chol nami losviluhu." Don't draw conclusions from Marzutra, because even during on a weekday he wouldn't use barda. Some like Yotana, because he holds like the following Tanya, the following Brisa. Migra Adam Galdei Tzoa Vegalde Maka Shabasar Bishul Tzara Av Bishul Yapos Aser. He would say that a person can scrape off dried excrement or scabs of a wound that are on his flesh because of the discomfort that they cause him. But if he did so in order to make himself beautiful, shouldn't do it, because doing things to make yourself beautiful is acting like it's like putting on the clothing of a woman. And who do they say that you're allowed to put on these things? They say the person can wash his hands and his face and his feet every day, make himself look nice. As it says, Hashem made everything for his own purpose. So it's appropriate to beautify yourself because Hashem made you for his own purposes, and therefore you should be beautiful, because everything in the world should be beautiful because made by Hashem. So if a person has a basket, mata al tzid venoto, so he leans it on its side, So that the wool will fall to the side of the pot, and then he takes the pot. Shemayito. So okay, so that's what we learned in the Mishnah. So Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Hakol Modim Shem Yiskalkel Haguma Sha'asla Hachser. Rav Abba said that Chia Bar Ashi said that Rav said everyone agrees that if the hole in which the pot was placed was destroyed, so you can't return the pot to the basket. Meaning, if all the wool collapsed, then you can't. Tanu. Tanan. We learned Rabbi Yisrael Chama no to lu machzer. So Rabbanan said, no, you pick it up and then you put it back. Hey, how does that work? Idel neskal klaguma. If like the indent in the stuff wasn't ruined, shaper kam Rabbanan and son Rabbanan alav api neskal klaguma. It would seem, didn't the rabbis permit it? Even if not lola olim neskal klal. They're talking about a situation where this indentation in the wool wasn't ruined. V'hacha b'choshishin kamifugi. The question is, do we have to be concerned? Masha b'choshishin neskal klaguma. He says maybe we have to be concerned that it'll be destroyed and he'll return the pot anyway. And my summer in question, the other one holds the Rabbanan, says that we don't have to be worried about it. Amar Afuna, hi slikusta, this like daffodil branch, it was fragrant, it smelled good, it was kept in the house in the, you know, in a flower pot or something. Datsa sholfa the hadar datsa shari. So if a person on Shabbos, a person inserted it into the earth and then pulled it out and then it put it back again, you can take it out again on Shabbos if you love. But if he did not do so on Erev Shabbos, then it's usur to pull it out on Shabbos from its flower pot, from its earth that it's in. Amar Shmuel, hai sakina debeni orve, the knife that was stored between the bricks. Datsa shalfa v'hadar datsa shari v'ilava. So if before Shabbos a person pulled it out and then stuck it back in between the bricks, then he's permitted to pull it on Shabbos. If not, he's not allowed to. Marzutjavi tamer of Ashi, amar bigur dayasa dekane shaper dami. Marzutra, some say of Ashi, say placing a knife between the branches of a hedge of reeds can be done, and there's no concern that maybe a person is going to come to cut these reeds when he removes it. I'm the Rav Mordechai Rava. Rav Mordechai said to Rava, maser katina tiyufta. Now, Katina raised a refutation of this. Hatomen lefes vitznonos tachas agefen, a person who hides turnip or radish in the ground beneath a vine for safekeeping or something. Imaya mixas olav megulim, if some of its leaves were showing, in a chosha, he does not need to be concerned. Lo mishum kilayim, lo mishum shirish, lo mishum maiser, v'nitalim b'shabbos. He doesn't have to be worried about shatnez or kilayim, right? Planting inappropriate things, inappropriate mixtures that you're not allowed to do, or shmita or meiser, and they can be taken on Shabbos and tiyufta. And this seems to be a refutation. This is a refutation of the opinion of Rav Huna and Shmuel, who are concerned about causing the earth to move on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, indeed, that it is.